Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to From the Touchline. Todd Stauber here in Seattle. I believe I've got Aaron Heinzen on the line in Yakima. Aaron, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you, Todd. Can you hear me?
I can. It sounds like we may have a little bit of an echo, but I think we're on, and I think we're ready to go here, Heinzo. We're going to get some people calling in here, telling us how good or bad the sound is, and we'll wait for that. A little bit of technical difficulty getting the show going, but we are here and we're ready to go, and we got a lot to talk about, Heinzo. It's an exciting time in soccer, as we know, as we look at the Premier League this week. It's just a matter of time. Is it going to be Newcastle or is it going to be Hull, Heinzo? What do you think? What can you tell me?
Well, Stobbs, you know, I've been thinking about this all week, and you know, Newcastle's had their chances, no question, but I think the hole's just a little too deep for Hull City to get what they need to do. You know, 2 points behind Newcastle United, I think Newcastle are probably going to pull out some sort of draw, and I think Hull are going to go down. They just have to...
Well, I mean, let's take a look at what we're dealing with here, okay? So we've got Newcastle, who has been on a shocking slide. This has been terrible.
Yeah,
they're
no question.
Home. To West Ham United. West Ham United literally have zero to play for. I mean, I don't even know if they're going to play any of their first team guys. So you've got that going on, and you've got Hull City with Manchester United, a Manchester United team that I can't see them. I can't see them laying over to them. Obviously, Steve Bruce, Hull City's manager, is a Manchester United legend.
Yes.
They talked this week. Louis Van Gaal has said, you know, we're not going to give him anything just because he's a United legend. But I'll tell you what, if I had to put money on this, I'm going to put my money on Newcastle completely bottling this, because I just feel like, I mean, as much as I don't think Hull City is going to beat United, I do believe that Newcastle will lose that game, and you never know what's going to happen with the other game.
Yeah, I mean, Hull City do have to get the result, and you're right, they are going to be facing a Manchester United that are basically ready to hit the beach. But I don't know. I don't see Hull City able to do it. And like you said, Van Gaal wants to. Some of these guys at United are fighting for their place next year. He's made a lot of statements coming up for the transfer market. He's going to be making big changes, and there's already rumors swirling around. So I think you're going to see a United team that's not going to let up on Hull City. They want to continue this in the next year's season. I think Newcastle United will be able to pull something together the way Sunderland did earlier this week and just go by the skin of their teeth.
Well, I mean,
like said,
let's
West
talk
Ham,
a little bit
Ham
about...
Let's
talk about Sunderland a little bit, because they were, you know, they were in a position where they needed to get 1 point out of games versus Chelsea and Arsenal. Not an easy task for, you know, this Sunderland team. And really, I mean, they came up with something huge this week at the Emirates. 0-0 draw, in which they defended for, I believe, 89 of the 90 minutes. It was a performance that, you know, I watched the entire game. It was an inspired, spirited performance for them. I mean, you saw guys doing absolutely everything possible. You know some of those guys. I mean, Johnny O'Shea drops out of the Premier League with Sunderland. Johnny O'Shea never gets back in the Premier League, in my opinion. But you could see with that kind of, you know, they played with that kind of spirit. At the end of the day, Dick Advocaat is crying after the game. This is a man who's accomplished almost everything and been anywhere in football, and he's crying at the end of the game. Probably Dick Advocaat's last managerial position. So I'm guessing he's going to retire. He was only brought in to keep them up. But, I mean, look at this guy. Unbelievable what they did at the Emirates on the week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Some of the performances, Pantelimon was absolutely unbelievable. And you got to give credit to basically the entire Sunderland back line, including Sebastian Larsson, who's fairly injured at the end of the game when they don't have any substitutes left and is limping all over the field and diving around. And that's what you get with that kind of when the stakes are that high. They just needed 1 point. Fortunately for them, they didn't need the win. And they had a couple chances, but, you know, it didn't go their way. And Arsenal just couldn't find the back of the net. Again, you could argue that Arsenal decided to do their classic, let's beat everybody and then get that final pass right in front of the goal. But still, it just wasn't going in, and Pantelimon had a fabulous game. So, you know, nice for Sunderland to stay up. a lot of those fans there made the trip down to London, and we're happy to see them stay. And I think they deserved it in the end.
Well, they certainly deserved it in the end. And, you know, you can talk about Arsenal and, yeah, maybe they, you know, they weren't playing at their best. I think they were trying to play at their best. And I feel like, the announcers in the game were saying, oh, maybe Arsenal's letting off a bit. I didn't really feel like they were. They were playing fine. But you really saw an Arsenal team that, I mean, and where and how they can struggle when they're overpassing. When they're just, you know, they can keep the ball all day if they want. But at the end of the day, they couldn't get that goal. They really struggled to find that final pass. Obviously, Sunderland made it very difficult. I mean, very difficult. But, you know.
Yeah, they parked a bus back there.
Well, yeah, they did park more than a bus. There was a couple buses. You could see it. But I'll tell you what, they brought on Stephen Fletcher at halftime. He basically played in a 4-5-1. Defoe was kind of out wide left. And it almost felt like they were gonna get some kind of goal on the counter, you know, with Defoe and Fletcher. Fletcher's holding off Mertesacker, you know, I mean, and that's not an easy task. It's like holding off a Sasquatch, a German Sasquatch. He's holding him off, winning every ball up there, and it almost felt like him and Defoe were gonna get something out of it.
Yeah, they had. You're absolutely right, especially when Theo Walcott came on. They had multiple times the ball's bouncing with no one around it, right in front of the box, but. Sunderland always had somebody there in the end, and it went their way. You know, I think there's something to be said. Arsenal still have the FA Cup final. They don't want to suffer any injuries. You know, they want to get another trophy this season. Their Champions League are secured no matter what. You know, maybe they're not throwing their bodies in front of things the way Sunderland were, I think would be the one little difference that some people maybe talked about why Arsenal weren't. They could argue that Arsenal weren't putting everything into it. But still, you know, they have more to play with. But in the end, you know, it was definitely, I think a month ago, when Sunderland aren't quite there, you know, when it's not quite, you absolutely must get a point here, maybe it goes Arsenal's way. But this time around and the time they were able to put that performance in, you know, they get the point and they stay up. So
I think that's where
a little bit of the questions could come in, whether Arsenal could give everything and Sunderland could not.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, obviously Sunderland had more to play for on the day, and they were going to put, I mean, you know, they're desperately, this is their lives, some of those guys, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, yeah, obviously, definitely, they've got more to play for on the day, but I didn't think Arsenal just rolled over at all.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but
here we are, and Sunderland survived. Dick Advocate cries at the Emirates, and now we're looking at potentially Newcastle and the whole city going down. I'm gonna put my money on Newcastle going down. I kind of hope it happens.
You are.
And if it does, if it does, I think that I think that we're going to be giving a call down to a Fox announcer that we talked about earlier in the week and seeing if we could get him on the show. Former Newcastle man there for Fox. I won't say his name though. That's a look at who's going down. You're listening to Todd Stauber, Aaron Heisen here from the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and we are on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. We're taking a look at promotion relegation here in England. We've taken a look at who's potentially going down. Let's take a look at who's going up. We started this week in Wembley, the conference promotion playoffs. Bristol Rovers, Grimsby Town. Bristol Rovers with a 5-3 win on penalties, a 1-1 match. Bristol Rovers returning to the Football League just 1 year after relegation into the conference. They did, obviously, defeating Grimsby Town on the penalties. Lee Mansell scored the winning penalty for Bristol, who actually trailed 1-0 in the first half of this game. Just great scenes there at Wembley. We've got Grimsby Town, former player at Grimsby Town, one Jake Sagar of FTI. That was a big transfer from Grimsby to FTI. But Gibby was more than happy to pay that transfer. Grimsby Town will be staying in the conference. The big deal coming up from the conference, Heinzel, because what a lot of people don't know is that in England, what's called the Football League is the Premier League, the Championship, League One, and League Two. Those are and what's most important about that, those are the leagues and the teams that share the Sky Sports revenue. When you drop into the conference,
right,
you're still considered professional football in England, but they're not part of the Football League. They're not part of all of those other, you know, kind of privileges that come with that, mostly the Sky Sports TV revenue. So a big deal for Bristol Rovers to jump back into the Football League.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime you can get your hands on some of that Sky Sports money, that's what everybody's looking to get right now. So a huge, massive boost for the Rovers.
And a sad day for Sagar as his Grimsby Town stays in the conference.
Yeah, sorry, Sagar.
And he also lost the Over 30 championship this week, failed to score in that. So tough week for Sagar all the way around. Let's go into League 2. We've got Southend United Wycombe Wanderers on Saturday playing in that match. Another news from League 2. Teddy Sheringham recently announced as the new manager at Stevenage, a League 2 playoff team. We're not able to get into this game after losing to Southend United, but Teddy Sheringham heading to Stevenage last year after spending this year on the bench with West Ham United as an assistant coach, and that's big news.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me he was going to go and play at Stevenage. Sheringham still playing?
No, he's 49 now, although he probably could.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, that's, you know, anytime you get a guy like that with a resume he has, that's got to be exciting for our team.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to Sunday, we got the League One promotion playoff, Preston North End, Swindon Town. Preston North End, that was the first club, as we mentioned on the show before, that David Beckham was loaned out to from Manchester United. But that's a big jump heading for those teams jumping into the championship. Anytime you're in the championship, you're looking at a chance that, hey, if we have a season that is unbelievable, we're looking at Premier League football. So anytime you're getting into that championship, that's a huge deal. That's going to be a massive game at Wembley on Sunday.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the beauty of the promotion relegation.
Oh, it is the beauty of it. And, you know, moving on to Monday, the final, and we're going to see who will join the Premier League for next year, who will be the last team. Middlesbrough, Norwich City, a couple former Premier League teams looking to get back in. Big payday, big payoff for somebody on Monday there. Can't wait to watch that game there on Monday. I'm sure we'll be watching that together. We're at our English correspondent, Andy Machen's house, and seeing who's going to be coming up. That's just a massive match. I can't wait for that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's been a long time since we've seen Middlesbrough, but, you know, Norwich City obviously most recently being up in the Premier League, but the exciting game for both those teams.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting time. And, you know, this is just, you know, it's just such an exciting time in the league and in Europe in general, you know.
Absolutely.
And as we're going through, you know, we're looking at relegation, we're looking at promotion, and now, as we're a week away, even though the final, the actual transfer window doesn't open until July 1st, is the minute that these games are over on Sunday, you're gonna start getting movement is gonna start happening, rumors are gonna start coming up, and we've got a bunch of rumors for you right now, Heinzo.
Oh yeah, it's always exciting times, and you know, talking about Middlesbrough just for a second on the championship game, they show up here later in the show. Stops. You just kind of wonder where they will show up, but they do, and it has something to do with European competition. So these Middlesbrough has a pretty incredible past, and the fact that they could be back in the Premier League is a big deal. You know, you just realize where some of these guys have been. They go down to the championship, and then they can pop back up. It's just, you know, it's nice. They get new life once again. It's always exciting.
Yeah, you start to see some names pop up. Let's talk about some big names in Europe, possibly on the move here. The biggest one, I think, and the one that's been talked about a while here is Raheem Sterling. Obviously unhappy at Liverpool. They've offered him £100,000 a week, which, you know, I mean, most people would take that, line, but I'm just going to say. He wants out. He's probably going to be out, and it looks right now like the most likely suitor for his services is going to be Manchester City. Manchester United apparently put in a bid this week that was denied. Obviously I think Liverpool's going to be more likely to give a player of that nature away to somebody who isn't their biggest rival. What do you think? Manchester City? Is it going to be Chelsea? Who is it going to be?
Yeah, it's probably the most interesting transfer story so far, just because of all the drama and Sterling's agent jumping into all this. I mean, the guy is still really young. He hasn't won anything. He's obviously very talented and has a bright future, but what's he going to do with it? And I think there's a lot of voices out there saying, why would you go to Manchester City, have a look at the laundry list of players who've gone there and who arguably are better than Sterling and didn't see the light of day? Scott Sinclair is not the best example there, and Sterling's more high profile than he is, but you also have to look at Roque Santa Cruz, Robinho, a little different story of Brazilian going there, but it's just, is it too early to go? I think, I think it probably is. Another one.
I think it's far
Rodwell.
Too early. I think it's far too early. I agree with you. And here's another name that I'm going to bring up, and maybe he hasn't vanished off the earth completely, but he certainly has a bit, and that's Samir Nasri. I mean, Samir Nasri was a big household name when he went to Manchester City. He's a bit part player there, and I think Raheem Sterling goes there, and he's going to struggle big time to find minutes there. I mean, look at what about Juan Cuadrado? I mean, you've got guys that have gone there this year that we've. I'm sorry, that's not Man City. That's Chelsea.
Cuadrado, Chelsea.
That's another example. Guys,
Cuadrado, it is.
Guys that are going to teams where they think they're going for big payoffs. They're going to because they think the grass is greener. And the grass isn't greener when you're not stepping on the grass. It's not a better situation when you're not playing. And I think you're spot on. You've seen a lot of players. City has been notorious, as has Chelsea, to just buy players just so they won't have to play against them. City will buy Sterling off of Liverpool just so they won't have to play him, just to play against him. They may have no intent to play the guy or no intent to put him in the first team. And I think that this is something that you see happening with these big clubs. And Raheem Sterling is a young guy, and I think he's going to fall into this trap, and it's the last maybe that we've heard of him.
Yeah, well, he's also English, so, that's the new part of the rule. The FA want to imply that some of these clubs need to add more English players, and Manchester City have almost none. So they need to add their English quotas, and Sterling fits the bill. He's still a talented player. They could use, but I just don't see him, like you said, getting in that midfield. Obviously, there's going to be some changes at City as well. So, maybe this does look like the smart thing, but for him, for the money. But, I think he has to take a look at how young he is and how this can really stunt your career. Next thing you know, you're not in the national team. 4 years later, we're talking about Sterling coming out after he's played, 16 games or 20 games in 4 years kind of deal.
Yeah.
So
years,
I'm right there with you.
Later, Liverpool
is a place to go. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
he's only scored 7
goals. He signs a contract in MLS for about $200,000 is what happened. And it just, I just can't understand this. I think his agent has led him astray. I think that his own ego has led him astray. And to be fair, I don't think Liverpool have handled it very well. I don't think Liverpool have handled it very well at all. And it's just a disaster. Let's talk about another name in England of a player who isn't as young, who has proven that he can score goals consistently at this league, and who I think will be a big name that moves this summer, and that's Christian Benteke at Aston Villa. This guy's been on fire. I think this is a big-time striker, and I'd like to see this guy get into a big club and see what he can do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are taking a look at him after he's come back. Second half of the season's been unbelievable, so I don't know exactly where to go. There's rumors right now about Atletico Madrid, but Benteke is definitely one of the hotter strikers, more promising, just speed and power and brilliant on the ball. So we'll see. I mean, there's got to be 5 or 6 big time clubs that are looking at him. Villa obviously want to try and keep him, but that's kind of the life as a smaller club. You lose those big time players, but
I think if you look around, you've got, it's been talked about with Benteke being rumored and linked also with Falcao from Manchester, who's on loan, obviously, to Manchester United, but also with Mandzukic from Atletico Madrid, And I think that you're looking, you could see Falcao back at Atletico Madrid. You could see these guys all switch places. Falcao obviously started his career, took a huge jump at Atletico before he made the jump to Monaco.
Right.
I think it's clear that Manchester United is not gonna buy him permanently. I mean, he just looks slower and slower to me, Heinz, when I'm watching this guy play. I think whoever ends up with this guy is gonna get a guy at who's lost his pace and I think has lost his ability to score at a high level.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I don't know. Monaco obviously, I think, knew something when they made the transfer, and you can speculate all day long, but Falcao's definitely lost something, like you said, to his, you know, just to last season even before he came or before the knee injury. So, will he stay United? Definitely not. But where will he end up? I'm not sure. I think I'm surprised, actually, there's been as much interest about him as there has been. And it's just a great example, Sobs, of how quickly your stock can rise and fall. I mean, when Colombia lost him before the World Cup this last summer, it was just devastating for them. But now I think Colombia, you know, they've got a couple other options, and everybody around the world is like, oh, United got Falcao. This is going to be amazing. And it's proven to be anything really but. But, you know, he can always make a comeback and your stock goes back up. But I think going back to the Sterling thing, all it takes is a month or two on the bench, and it's kind of Raheem who, and next thing you know, you're replaced by the next 17, 18, 19-year-old who's coming through the ranks scoring goals.
Well, yeah, I agree. And, I mean, let's talk about another couple strikers that are going to be on the move potentially. And that's, if we look over to PSG, and we're looking at Ibrahimovic and Edson Cavani. I mean, Cavani potentially looking for a new home. Ibrahimovic has been well documented that he wants to be looking for a new home. You know, PSG is going to need somebody to replace these guys. And, you know, Ibrahimovic looks likely to head to Italy. Where will Cavani end up? I don't see him coming to the Premier League, and I don't really see where these guys are going to go. And I think that you're going to see PSG needing to replace those two guys with somebody, with one of these guys in the carousel.
Yeah, absolutely. PSG got some of the biggest money around, and we'll see who they end up going for. They got all kinds of options, kind of do whatever they want. They still have to stay under the European levels as far as players and money go, but it's an endless. You could just throw any name out there, and PSG could possibly be linked to them with the kind of funds they have. So it'll be interesting to see, especially to make some big time sales. See what Larry decides to do.
A couple of things. You know, I think one of the teams that's going to be busiest in the transfer market is going to be Manchester United. I think that obviously, clearly, they need to bring some players in. And they clearly have some players on the way out. You've got David De Gea potentially and likely heading to Real Madrid. It'll be interesting to see if and when that comes to fruition. You know, it's been talked about with United, you know, are they okay with Victor Valdez? Is their number one? He's their current number two. It's also been talked about this week that maybe Petr Cech, you know, who's obviously going to be looking for a new home after falling to number two to Courtois. Is Petr Cech an option there for Manchester United? And is he a guy that Chelsea would let go to one of their main rivals?
That's an interesting question. I think when I think about Petr Cech, I think about, the last time they took a Premier League guy who was playing at a different club, and Edwin van der Sar, when, you know, veteran keeper coming from Juventus, goes over to Fulham, won everything in Europe, and big-time player, and has worked out fabulously. So, you know, Petr Cech, a little bit older now than when van der Sar came, but still, it could be a really good move. And obviously Chelsea have a goalkeeper they'll be hanging on to for a long time in Courtois.
Yeah.
So Cech knows he's not going to get any more games. He's got a couple of years left. So, I am surprised Chelsea are talking to United about it. Depending on how the transfer market goes, they could be real rivals next year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think so. I think Petr Cech is leaving Chelsea no matter what. I mean, he's a guy that needs to be playing for football at the end of his career, no question. You know, I think really the question becomes, does he stay in England? Does Chelsea give him to anybody in England? And I'm not sure they would, you know. But I think it'll be interesting to see where Petr Cech ends up, and I agree, he's got some good years left in him. If he doesn't end up at United, and United ends up with, I mean, does United go with Victor Valdez, or are they looking somewhere else to replace David De Gea?
I'm just not sure. That's a tough one. Valdez, you saw him play his first game. You know, unlucky to have that deflection and the goal in this last weekend in the match against Arsenal. But, you know, I don't know. Valdez, it's so funny. He's a guy that's won all this with Barcelona, and then suddenly he's out and doesn't have a club. It kind of says something where maybe that Barcelona team was so good that people weren't really – testing Victor Valdez enough, and he's not really that highly ranked of a goalkeeper, I think, right now around the world. Obviously, you know, United pick him up, and it's almost like Van Gaal's doing him a little bit of a favor. But the fact that he's still floating around and not getting regular games says something to me about it. So what ends up happening.
Let's be honest, if he was still at his best and sharp, he'd be playing for Barcelona in the Champions League.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think Barcelona were saying he's a little bit, you know, he's falling off just a little bit and they wanted to move on. But he definitely, you know, he's won everything. He's a talented goalkeeper, no question about it. But is he good enough for the big clubs of the world? I'm not sure anymore, and he may have to kind of lower his sights.
Well, another two other names being linked with Manchester United. One is Mats Hummels. Looks like he's going to reject that offer, which is unfortunate for United because I think, you know, we can talk about Czech. We can talk about the next guy that's been linked with United recently, and that's Bastian Schweinsteiger of Bayern Munich. But really what United needs is defenders. They need central defenders specifically. They need guys in the back. If Mats Hummels says no, which it looks like he will, Hanzo, who's next in the list of guys that they could potentially bring in? They have to bring somebody in.
It's a good question, Stobbs. You hear all kinds of names swirling around. Colpio from Argentina, maybe joining Marcus Rojo. There's been talk of bringing over, you know, Varane for some sort of swap for De Gea, but I think that's really far-fetched. I think Varane's, you know, it's been unbelievable for Real Madrid for the most part. One of the good defenders for them, young French guy. I don't know. I haven't heard anything else about it other than Hummels looks like he's going to stay, which I am surprised to hear.
Listen, I mean, here's a name that's not even being talked about because he's literally fallen off the map, and that's Angel Di Maria. I mean, can they sell him and get some money and use that money to buy some defenders? Because they cannot make the same mistake they made last year when they buy all these attacking players, the things they didn't need, and now they're shocking in the back. I mean, we've got, you know, Daley Blind has not worked out really as a holding midfield player. Yeah, he's a serviceable left back. That's fine, but you know, these are the kind of guys they need to be bringing in. They need central defenders. They need guys in the back. They've got to address these issues. They can't just keep buying all these big names and thinking that that's going to win them trophies, because it's not. Yeah, it's gotten better. Yeah, they got fourth. Yeah, they're going to be in the Champions League. That's fine. But watch them in the back, and it's shocking. Okay, Chris Smalling, if that's your answer, then we've got problems, Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're going to hang their hat a little bit on Smalling with a five-year deal for him earlier this year. I think you're right. Yeah, they do need to pick up a couple more players, and obviously they know that. I think, will Di Maria stay? I don't think so. I don't think it's working out for him. It's one of those blunders. And you're right. They really have to be careful with these purchases. You start looking like some of the clubs that have made big disastrous purchases in the past. I mean, you could look at Liverpool this last year. You could also look at Man City and cases in the past, Inter Milan. I mean, a lot of the big teams, Chelsea, have been guilty of it. There's already talk of Juan Cuadrado departing Chelsea. They just bought him in January. So you don't want to be having that revolving door, and that's not the Manchester United style. But I think this Di Maria one, you know, they've had a couple bad buys in the past, and Di Maria might just be joining that list. The fact that Ashley Young has been starting over him the last couple months says a lot. And,
I think it's pretty
apparent that he doesn't want to. It's not going to work out for him there.
No, I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be tough. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle on Blog Talk Radio, on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. You can catch us every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are also on Twitter. You can get us at FTTL in Seattle is our handle. Heinzo, a couple coaches that are going to be on the block here potentially. There is rumor that Carlos Ancelotti will leave Real Madrid and go back to a club he spent many years at, AC Milan, and try to bring them back to their glory. In that rumor move, it is also being said that Rafa Benitez will move from Napoli to fill Ancelotti's shoes in Spain at the Bernabeu. We have who's better known in Old Trafford as the fat Spanish waiter, potentially returning to Spain. Any comments on that potential movement?
Well, yeah, I think for AC Milan, that's an unbelievable boost. I mean, Ancelotti was there for a lot of their glory, Champions League wins, and as a player there as well. I think that will give that club a definite boost that they need. They just had a disastrous season, and as far as their standards go. So, plus for AC Milan, if that goes down, as far as Real Madrid goes, I think a lot of people are surprised Rafael Benitez. You know, he did all right at Napoli. They got to the semifinal of the Europa League, but obviously Spanish man, known in the area. known in the country, but is he someone that brings the kind of winning mentality that Real Madrid have to have all the time? I don't know. So it's an interesting one for sure. And I was really surprised to hear Rafa Benitez's name was the next one thrown out there.
Yeah, and we talked pre-show on this. I mean, you know, the reality is you're taking a huge step down. You know, I mean, Rafa Benitez to me is not a name that I would see linked with any of the big clubs in the world. You know, and I'm just, you know, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. It bothers me that a guy like Ancelotti, who clearly came in and did a great job, yeah, he didn't win anything, but he was in the conversation for all three trophies in Spain, you know, or all the Copa del Rey, in the conversation for the La Liga title until the very last kick. And also in the Champions League, he was right there. You know, he's not far off. I think he's done a great job. It just bothers me that a club like that just can let a guy go that easily. And I mean, you know what? They're cutting their own throat. If they want to get rid of Carlos Ancelotti and bring in the fat Spanish waiter, fine. Go ahead and do it. I don't think that's going to work out for you, realistically.
Yeah, I agree. I think they just have to – it's one of those cases where they have to look around and say, who's really available? Who should we get? Does this make a smart move? It, you know, notorious for just discarding coaches and discarding players. And, you know, that in some ways it's worked out for them, but in other ways, no, not everybody can be Real Madrid. So you can't just follow their line of thinking. But, I mean, they've been to the Champions League semifinals 5 years in a row now. They won it last year. Obviously, they're not going to win anything this year. And so they make a change. It's kind of the way Real Madrid have done things. But I think in this case, this change doesn't look like they're making a step forward or making a fresh start, especially already with kind of the negative stuff around the media about it and the surprise that people are saying, you're really going to do this to get rid of Ancelotti and bring in Benitez. So I think maybe Florentino Perez is going to have to relook at that and decide if that's something he wants to start out with right away.
My question is here, a little off the topic of soccer, but how many wives does Florentino Perez have? Because if this is the way this guy operates, I mean, he's got an argument with his wife to have a divorce. He's had 35 wives.
Is that true? I don't have a clue.
And six managers in 5 years at Real Madrid. I don't know. I mean, I just can't believe this guy. It just bothers me. And I think it would be frustrating to be Carlos Ancelotti. But, I mean, to be honest, if I was him, I would say, hey, you know, there's all this talk about maybe I didn't do a good enough job. Fair enough. Good luck with the waiter. I'm going to go to AC Milan where I'm loved and where I can stay for many years and they'll give me time to rebuild the squad. I don't know. I just if I'm Ancelotti, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what they end up deciding to do. It's definitely part of the old carousel of the rumor mill. It's always a lot of fun. But you'll just never know until it pops up in the headline.
One more name to bring up for you here, and wondering if he's going to be moving anywhere, and it's a name that we love here on the show, and that's Larry White. Any movement from PSG and Larry White, or will he be staying at PSG?
I think for a while I thought Larry White might be on the slide and being changed off, but I think PSG are probably going to hang on to him, let him build his squad again and see what happens next year. I think if he doesn't get into the Champions League final next year with the squad that he's got now, he's still missing, you know, one or two players. He was unfortunate with those injuries. We've already talked about all that for those for the games against Barcelona, or suspensions, excuse me. But, you know, if he doesn't make it in the Champions League final, I think they go for somebody else. But you never know. Just on the fact that there aren't that many coaches revolving around right now, I think his job is secure, other than Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Jurgen Klopp's been very quiet since he made his Dortmund announcement, and we haven't heard anything from anybody else. So, you've got to imagine something's going on right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, let's just talk about that for a minute because, I think there's a definite strange silence about that because Jurgen Klopp is a very good manager, one of the top managers in the world. And I would say he's one of the best managers in the world available to go somewhere else. And I just feel like there's a big announcement coming with Jurgen Klopp. He said he doesn't want to go to England. So where does that leave him? Do you see him going to Real Madrid? I'm not really sure I see that. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. Is he going to Italy? Is he going to Saudi Arabia? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I think the silence that has come with Jurgen Klopp is very strange.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think he's just waiting for everybody's season to end and the transfer market to get going. And then Klopp, you know, if he wants to get involved and get a team going right away, we'll see it happen pretty quickly. You know, no one wants to wait to the last minute to appoint a coach. just before the season starts. That's kind of a disaster. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think we'll hear in the next week or two probably where he ends up going and what he ends up doing. I think there's no question he'll be staying in Europe, but where that will be, I'm not sure. I don't think he remains in Germany, though. I think he's going to go somewhere else. So it's an interesting time, exciting, because he is a very popular coach, like you said, and definitely one of the best in the world right now.
Yeah, I think so. It's gonna be interesting. And here's the great thing, Hunzo. At this time next week, we're going to have another 3 hours of material to talk about in terms of transfer rumors, because the second that the final whistles blow in England on Sunday, it's going to be on. Game on. It's going to be gangbusters. And we're going to be we're going to have Marcus Hanneman back on the show next week, who we've had on a former guest, who's been involved in these transfers in England, who's been involved in the hype. And we're going to bring him back on next week to talk English transfers and European transfers and everything that's going to happen there. Can't wait to talk to Marcus again about all that, because he's going to be able to give us just some really fantastic insight on that. So looking forward to that. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. Aaron Heinzen is actually in Yakima, patched in on the phone, recovering from a little surgery last week, Heinzo. A little hernia surgery. How you feeling over there? Things coming back around.
Well, face up. Yeah, I'm feeling well. You know, a little bit sore, a little bit uncomfortable, but other than that, you know, it's nice to be moving around again. Just hopefully, I'm set to go. Set to go for this summer.
Well, it's well known that Yakima is a great place to recover from any injury or surgery. So you've gone there, and you know, it's good. It's good that you're over there. You'd be back here in Seattle. It was a little lonely this morning at La Rest in the coffee shop. They were looking around for you. Painted your face on the back of the milk carton. They thought you were missing, but you know, looking forward to getting you back in Seattle. But for now, we'll just talk to you while you're in the Palm Springs of Washington. We're going to move on here. One more last thing to mention in Europe before we move on to the MLS. Europa League final on Wednesday. We've got Sevilla against the Russian Rolovan Dnipro-Vets. I think it's going to be a great match. Looking forward to seeing it.
Oh yeah, Dnipro, first final ever for them, and then you got Sevilla with three Europa League titles. Here's where Middlesbrough come back into it. They played Sevilla in their first Europa League final title back in 2006. It was against Middlesbrough. Sevilla won that one. They won actually all three that they've been in. They won it in 06, and they won it in 07 over Espanyol, and then they won it last year over Benfica. Dnipro. The last time they showed up in a European competition was back in the 80s, and that's not even a tournament anymore. It was the European Champions Club Cup back in the 80s, as they were the Russian champions. But Dnipro has done well, and you know, they have that offsides goal, obviously, against Napoli in Italy, and then scored again by the same token from Yevhen Selesnyov. So they were able to beat Napoli, but they also beat Ajax. They beat Club Bruges. That was kind of their trip through here. And Sevilla did Villarreal, Zenit, and Fiorentina. So I think they had just a little bit tougher of a trip. They've obviously got the experience. I think you're kind of looking at a Spanish win here. Although it's going to be a tough team to break down, but I think with the experience they have and having won the trophy three times and just being kind of a better side right now and having better results, where Dnipro just kind of sliding by Sevilla or you know, the crush Fiorentina to get in here. So definitely looking at, on paper anyways, you're looking at Sevilla winning it for a fourth time.
Well, and, you know, I mean, Sevilla, I mean, a second year in the final. I mean, obviously that's an impressive run. But, you know, you got to wonder at some point, they've been in this competition so many times, are they dropping out of the Champions League on purpose?
I think it's just one of those things where they've got their pattern down and they've got a lot of experienced players in there. You know, Carlos Bacca scoring a lot of goals for them. A team that is cohesive and very, very difficult to beat in La Liga. So I think right now they're definitely one of the better sides, and no question they've got the formula of winning this tournament, and it does them well. It gives them a lot of prize money. And Dnipro just happened to be the team this year that's made it into the final. You know, knocks against them. They have a good team. They have a great goalkeeper in Dennis Boyko. They have Douglas in the back defensively. Kalinic, who's their top goal scorer, has only scored 3 goals. So they're defensively, they're very difficult to break down. But I think Sevilla are just going to be a bit too much for them.
Yeah. Well, so you're picking Spain. You're picking the Spanish team. For me, the game's in Poland. I have a rule in my life. Never trifle with a Russian when you're in Poland. I'm going Russian.
Yeah, I did say they won the Russian League back in the 80s, which is what they played in back when it was the Soviet Union. They're a Ukrainian side. And I think the streak continues for me, for Sevilla. They've won every final they've played in, and everybody knows they're a very difficult team to beat in La Liga. And I think they've got this kind of combination down on how to win the Europa League. How to win the Europa League, brought to you by Sevilla.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. We'll be watching the game. Can't wait for it. It's another game and a list of big games. A lot of finals going on this week, and that's just one more. I mean, we're looking at it's going to be great. I mean, we got League 2 promotion Saturday, League 1 promotion Sunday, championship on Monday, find out who gets relegated on Sunday. You know, Wednesday we're looking at this game. It's just going to be fantastic. I can't wait for the weekend. It's just really all these games stacking up on each other. Fantastic. You got Tom Stauber and Aaron Hines in here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio and Back Sports Page Radio Network. We're going to move stateside here, and we're going to go to the MLS here, and we're actually, we do try to keep our coverage, even though we are in Seattle, national and international. However, we do have something going on right here in Seattle with the Seattle Sounders that we need to talk about here, Hanzo. Seattle Sounders are flying after their 2-0 win in Vancouver behind a Chad Barrett brace. But is there more brewing in this situation? Chad Barrett playing for Obafemi Martins. Obafemi Martins has sat out a couple games this year, kind of, in question. He sat out the Vancouver game with a shin contusion, Heinzen. And I wanted to know how many shin contusions you've had in your career.
I've had a few. You know, I've had a few. And
have you sat out games for those?
I stayed on the field. No question.
Right.
And you know, there could be different levels of them, but obviously a really nasty one would definitely be realm for staying out, but you never know. It is kind of an interesting injury, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an interesting injury, and it becomes even more interesting when we get multiple reports this week from quality sources that Obafemi Martins is in a contract dispute with the Seattle Sounders and is sitting these games out in protest of his contract. Word is he wants Clint Dempsey money, feels he should be paid on the same level. Obviously him and Clint Dempsey have found a very, very good partnership together up front for Seattle. Obafemi Martins just signed a brand new contract at the end of last year. They almost doubled his contract and put him on over $3 million a year annually. It's a 2-year deal with a 1-year option. Again, like I said, they gave him this deal right at the end of the year last year when there was rumors again that he was unhappy with his contract at that point. To me, I'm just tired of all this time, Bill. You just got a new contract. You're in the middle of a great year. You're playing well. Your team is playing well. Why do this? Why not finish out the year? Why not, okay, if you're playing great, finish out the year, win the MLS Cup, and then you really have a reason to ask for more money. But to me, doing this right in the middle of the year, it's unthinkable to me, Hanzo.
Yeah, it's something that's happened before, no question about it, that he's done. And, you know, he's getting older. Obviously, he's an older player. He needs to kind of cash out. But you're right. I think this is a tough time to be doing. It makes him look a little bit selfish, no question. Right when the team's just getting going, you know, it's still early on in the season. But he's got 6 goals. Dempsey has 7. They're definitely the most lethal partnership by far in the MLS. Everybody knows it. You know, Seattle would be in big trouble. He's probably surprised. Everybody, I think, was surprised. You know, Chad Barrett hasn't scored 2 goals in a game like that since 2010. 2 great goals against a really good-looking Vancouver team. But let's be honest, Chad Barrett is not Obafemi Martins. And more than the fear factor of it. So,
for all those Seattle fans, and even if Siggy Schmidt is saying, oh, whatever, Obafemi, do your thing. You've got Chad Barrett. He's just scored 2 goals. Let me take you back to the FC Dallas game when he also started.
Yes.
Another game that Obafemi decided not to play in. And let me take you back to the first touch he took when Lamar Nagel played him through and he was in on goal, and his first touch took him to the corner. And I think
right,
his first touch ended up being a three-touch touch where it hit his toe. It was like a knee shin toe touch where it touched his knee shin and toe and it went off the side. So let me just remind you of that touch. He's not the answer, Chad Barrett.
No, I definitely remember that Dallas game. That was definitely a very tough game for Chad Barrett. But, you know, he made up for it against Vancouver, but that's not really the point. They need Obafemi Martins out there. He knows it. He wants to put some pressure and try and roll the dice and get another contract dispute. Hopefully Seattle can sort this kind of thing out because, you know, right now is where they need to be building up those points in order to, you know, to stay at the top of the league. And they need Obafemi Martins if they're going to have any sort of MLS Cup run, to try and win the title.
Here's my other problem with it. Okay, yeah, you're right. You scored a ton of goals last year. You're almost the league MVP. They doubled your contract.
Right.
So they're paying you to do what you're doing. Don't pretend like you're doing something above and beyond what they're paying you to do. And my other problem with it is I think it's extremely disrespectful to the team and to the league. Okay, Obafemi Martins, you can say, yeah, he's played in Europe. You know, he scored a ton of goals in Europe. But I'll tell you this. If he was at Inter Milan where he had played or at Newcastle United where he had played and he just decided, hey, I've scored a ton of goals. I'm not showing up to training and I'm not going to play this weekend because I think I should get paid more. I mean, what happens in Europe when he does that? He's binned out. He's
right.
Gone. And he thinks,
right.
I mean, you don't see Robbie Keane doing this in the MLS. You don't see
right.
You know, you don't see these other players that have come over here and done it doing in the MLS. And I would go on a limb and say Robbie Keane's done more in the world of soccer than you have over Obafemi Martins. And where do you get off doing this? And it just really upsets me. These guys, it's almost like Raheem Sterling in a way, but it's even worse. At least Raheem Sterling, even though he said, I'm not going to sign my contract at Liverpool, he kept playing the season out. He didn't just stop showing up to training. I just don't
right.
understand how a professional can do this. I don't understand how it can happen. And I think it's extremely disrespectful to the league and extremely disrespectful to the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, I know you got some points, Stoss, no question. And hopefully they can get something sorted out here. You know, I think the question for Martins is how much longer can he keep doing this? You know, maybe in the league he's got another year on his a year or two with, you know, in his legs for the future, but maybe he thinks this is kind of his last run. Who knows? But if they give him a big payout and he decides to leave at the end of the season, it's not going to look very good for Seattle. So we'll see what happens. I think, yeah, it's an interesting position, you know, but I agree. It doesn't look like a team player whatsoever. And I understand people need to make their money, but he's getting a pretty good deal right now where they're at.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out or if this is the case.
He's one of the top 10 paid players in the league. He's in the top 10 of guys getting paid. I mean, I don't see how you can be upset with that. And, you know, if you're comparing yourself to, oh, I want his money or I want his money. I mean, if we got into that, I mean, we'd have every single player in the whole world looking to transfer, looking to get a better contract. You can't look at other players and go, well, he's getting that much and he's scored X amount of goals and I should be getting the same amount. This doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Seattle can't pay him at this point. I mean, if they pay him, it makes them look as bad as they could possibly look. And if they pay him, they can't pay him. So to me, they're at an impact.
Yeah, we'll see what Lagerwey does. It's definitely a tough call. I mean, you got Clint Dempsey. He's got 8 games in a row now where he's either had a goal or an assist. He's definitely well on his way to being a league MVP candidate. So can you really ask up to what he's done? Obviously, Martins with 6 goals, but has he set up as many? He set up a few for Dempsey, obviously, in the partnership, but I'm not sure. I think it's pretty arguable he is not as effective if Dempsey's not on the field. And, you know, if Dempsey's gone and Martins is there, which is going to happen this year when the Gold Cup stuff rolls around, I think Seattle is definitely looking at that, saying, well, Martins, are you as effective when Rob, you know, when you're when Dempsey isn't on the field? I think that's a big question mark.
Yeah. Well, he's clearly done very well. He's a very good player.
Yeah, no question.
He does a lot for the team, but, I mean, he's not doing a lot with the team right now. I mean, he's doing nothing, and I just it upsets me. Let's talk about another very, very lethal scoring combination on the East Coast, though. On the Eastern Conference of the MLS, we've got Juan Agudelo and Charlie Davies scoring a ton of goals for them. Juan Agudelo coming back to the MLS and finding a ton of success here. You got New England versus DC United on Saturday, the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, both coming off shocking defeats last week, but that should be a good game on Saturday in the MLS over there in the Eastern Conference. And back here on kind of on the West Coast, we got a big news coming. Jason Christ, who built Real Salt Lake into just an absolute machine, it returns with his new team, New York City FC. A very a struggling New York City FC team, sitting on 7 points from 11 games. He brings back former RSL stalwart Chris Winger, Ned Grabovoy, with him. Should be an emotional return to Real Salt Lake, where Jason Christ did amazing things.
Absolutely, they're struggling right now. Javier Morales out with that concussion. He's one of their top goal scorers. He only has two, so. Salt Lake, they need some points. New York City obviously needs some points as well. So it's going to be a tight fought game, no question about it. But Christ has got to give a little bit of a confidence boost. To help him on the road right now. What he's dealing with at New York City. He's like, oh yeah, I'm back here. I remember these times. I remember winning the title in 2009. He's still loved by the fans, I think, for the most part. So. It's going to be an emotional return for him, no question about it. But I think it'll be the biggest thing. He'll remember the success and the team, like you said, that he built there, and maybe that will help him kind of sort things out. Obviously, he's got Frank Lampard coming in here pretty soon, but New York City is still struggling a lot to get anything done, get any real momentum going on right now.
Yeah.
Big question mark.
Well, it's. It'll be a good week in the MLS, and the MLS, obviously, as we keep moving further and further on in the season here, and things are starting to open up a little bit in the Eastern Conference in terms of points, a little separation there, and things are still pretty tight in the Western Conference, but you've definitely got FC Dallas, Vancouver, and Seattle pulling away a little bit. You got Todd Stauber and Aaron Hines in here from the Touchline in Seattle. We're just moving into the last segment of the show here. And the last segment of the show means that we're going to go with Heinzo's World 11. The top players in the world for the week, as stated by one Aaron Heimsen, and you're on, Heinzo.
Yes, indeed, the World 11. So, thanks, Dobbs. Here it is. I got to go with Kostel Pantilimon in goal, because if you watched that Arsenal-Sunderland game in midweek, he was absolutely fabulous. One of the big reasons that they are still in the Barclays Premier League. So congratulations to Pantilimon. He's not the only Sunderland player in there. I also have part of the back line, Sebastian Coates. And you could argue a lot that these guys just sat back and did what they had to do. And that's why they're in here, actually, and they got it done. So they had the one scary moment with the ball. It was nearly an own goal. But Coates is in there, just put in a great shift alongside Captain John O'Shea, keeping his side in there. So both those guys making that.
And Johnny O'Shea, by the way, also keeping himself in the Premier League for another year. So.
Yeah, keeping himself in the Premier League, exactly. Giorgio Chiellini is going alongside John O'Shea. He captained the team. Buffon was out for the Italian Cup in the midweek. Juventus now looking also at a treble if they win the Champions League against Barcelona, so that's just heating up even more. If Barcelona obviously win the Copa del Rey in another week's time against Bilbao. But Giorgio Chiellini, first time winning the Cup for a long time for Juventus. And very, very happy to do that. He was part of that 2-1 win over Lazio in the final. Chiellini had the goal, the equalizer for Juventus. And also in there in the back line is Patrice Evra, who assisted on that. Both of those players have been fabulous the last few months. Big part of the reason why Juventus are in the conversation and in the final. So that's your back line.
It's a great back line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got some real class there. Obviously, I have one last Sunderland player, Sebastian Larsson, only because he had the knee injury, no substitutes left, and just kind of left it all out on the field there. So he's one of the guys in midfield. Another guy, Ghent midfielder Sven Koens, gets a goal. That's the first Belgian League title for Ghent in their 115-year history. He hit one of the goals, was a big part of their season this year. So Sven Koens is also included in the World 11. Congratulations to him in the midfield. And the other man is Rodrigo Salinas of Pachuca. getting a goal against Querétaro in the Mexican semifinals. Querétaro brought in Ronaldinho. It just didn't work out for him. He eventually got subbed off. I think it was a little bit of a fitness thing, surprise, surprise. But Rodrigo Salinas, a goal and an assist for Pachuca on an away, on the first leg, on the away away leg, excuse me. So they'll now host Querétaro for that second leg, and Salinas was a big part of that win. So he gets slotted in on that midfield spot. And finally, not a huge surprise here, Stobbs, the top three strikers. I just had to throw in Cristiano Ronaldo because he's got 45 goals for Real Madrid. They didn't win anything, but he's just been insane. And I had to just give him a knock. There was nobody else I could really throw in there and feel like they deserved it more than him. 45 goals. The next closest striker for Real Madrid is Karim Benzema, who, by the way, will be missing the final match for Real Madrid with a hamstring injury. Lionel Messi is in there again. Barcelona winning La Liga this last week. Guess who got the only goal for him? Well, Lionel Messi. So he makes it in there for a third straight week. The guy's just insane. I think he's well on his way to winning World Player of the Year again for this next year. And finally, Alessandro Matri of Juventus, the third Juventus player. He gets the game winner against Lazio in the 97th minute to get the Coppa d'Italia for Juventus. And that's my World 11, of course, always coached by Scott Gibby Gibson of FTI. Thanks, Scotty.
Always enjoy that World 11, and you know Gibby's just a great coach. What a great guy to have on there. I'm gonna introduce my bottom three for the week, and coming in at number three is Jozy Altidore, who this week has become hamstrung yet once again. The same thing that kept him out of the World Cup or the final part of the World Cup, and now he's looking at another 4 to 5 weeks. On the sidelines, Toronto FC fans, this is looking very familiar. USA fans, this is looking very familiar. Jozy Altidore, you need to sort out your fitness because you're currently carrying too much weight for your hamstrings to move around the soccer field. So he's on number three. Number two is Sepp Blatter. We head into the election next week. He has somehow managed to get two candidates who are running against him as the FIFA president to just drop out of the race. I'm sure there was money involved in that. Now he's going against the young prince, and it looks like Sepp Blatter is going to win that again. He's cheating. It is all fixed, and he's number two. Number one is the aforementioned Obafemi Martins, who is just showing that he's just not a good teammate, and he's wanting more and more and more money, and it's just getting a little tiresome. So that's my bottom three. Jozy Altidore.
Great bottom three.
Jozy Altidore, lose some weight. Sepp Blatter, stop cheating. Obafemi, just play and shut up. Stop asking for more money. That's my bottom three. And we're going to move right on to two touch here. That's where I give Heinzen, I give you something. I give you a word, you give me an answer. That's just the way this is going to work. I'm going to give you the league. You give me who won the championship.
Oh, all right.
Dutch Eredivisie.
Eindhoven.
Oh, correct. The Turkish Super League. And by the way, league is spelled L-I-G.
L-I-G. I'm going to go with Galatasaray.
No, you're cheating. The Austrian Bundesliga.
Oh. Salzburg.
He's looking this up. He's cheating. Russian Premier League.
No, I've... Oh, is that Zenit?
Zenit, St. Petersburg, it is. The Swiss Super League.
Oh, Grasshoppers.
Oh, I got him. No, it was FC Basel.
Oh, Basel, I should have known.
And I've got one last one for you here. Who is currently sitting on top of the Thai Premier League?
The Thai Premier League?
Yeah.
FC Bangkok.
No, Bangkok Glass is in third, but with 24 points and an 18 goal differential out of 10 games, Buriram United is on top of the Thai Premier League.
Is that Sven Goran Eriksson coaching that team?
I got one more for you. Got one more for you here. We got 25 seconds. If you had to watch one last movie, and you had the choice, Dead Poets Society? Would it be Dead Poets Society, or would it be Good Will Hunting?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm going to go ahead and go with Goodwill Hunting. How do you like them apples?
I like them apples a lot. From the touchline, this is Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen. We're signing off, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good week.